Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Good morning, Courtney. It's Sarah from Kent Memorial Library.
Hey, Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm good. I want you to tell me about your big weekend that you have coming up. We're talking about fundraising today, right?
Yeah, this is not fundraising related, but we do have our summer reading kickoff party this Saturday, the 27th, from 10 to 12.
Okay.
At 10, we're having Dinosaurs Rock come, and I'm very excited because we haven't had them before. And
they're amazing.
Really cool.
They're great.
Okay, that makes me really happy to hear.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be here from 10 to 11, and then from 11 to 12, we're going to have a steel drum performance. Ice cream, summer reading logs can be picked up. We're going to have some, like, sensory dinosaur activities, some just, like, art projects people can work on. So it's going to be busy. And if that wasn't enough, we also have a historical society program about Philip Hart, who lived in Millbrook centuries ago. Mm-hmm. And he's we're going to be having them at the library from 1 o'clock to about 2:30.
Huh.
And then we also have Upstate Art Weekend happening this weekend. We're going to have our reception, and it's kind of like our closing reception for this art exhibit that we have, but that's going to also be on Saturday from 5 to 6:30. So it's going to be a really
busy
day.
Wow, you're going to be
library.
A noodle by the end of that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun, though.
Good.
So if anybody wants to join us, we welcome you with open arms.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it sounds like there's something for everybody, sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me about how you guys do your fundraising in general. I know this isn't – well, I'll start by saying I think everything is fundraising. Everything is development. So all of these events actually are about fundraising, but we can get to that later. Tell me about the way you guys manage it all.
Yeah, I know you are also, like, the queen of fundraising.
Yeah,
so I know. Like,
maybe a duchess. I don't know about a queen.
We have a couple of methods for fundraising. We do, I think, which is pretty typical of a lot of organizations, like an annual appeal letter every fall, which is generally pretty successful. We have a lot of very generous people in Millbrook who really love to support the library, and I definitely don't take that for granted. It's very appreciated. We also have our friends group. We have the Friends of Millbrook Library, who are an amazing group of people and really focus on fundraising and advocacy efforts for the library.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a bunch of really cool fundraisers over the years. Like, we've had mini golf in the library a couple times. But their big one that has become an annual event is their holiday silent auction.
Oh.
So we set up the whole gallery space with tables. There's tons of donations from local people and local businesses, organizations, and we have an opening party that coincides with, like, the Parade of Lights in Millbrook, and the silent auction runs for about 2 weeks, and then after those 2 weeks, we have a closing party and make generally a bunch of money for the library.
Oh, well, that's
so
nice.
The past couple of years, it's been, like, over $12,000, which has been really nice.
Yeah, that's great.
And then they use that money to help us with things like programming, and they helped us, like, renovate our gallery space and put in new carpet and paint and, like, stuff that we wouldn't necessarily
extras,
have to, like, cover in our operating budget,
right,
which is fantastic, like our visitor passes and things like that.
Yeah.
We also have, our board has been working on fundraising, and this past year we had a salon hang, which we did for the first time, where people could submit their artwork. We hung it all up in our gallery space, and then people could buy the art, and a portion of the proceeds went back to the library.
Oh, nice.
And it was so much fun. It was a huge community turnout. I think we had almost, like, 300 people come to, like, the opening reception.
Wow.
And it was just a blast. It was one of those programs where you look around and you're like, I really love my job.
That is neat. That is really neat.
And I think we're planning on doing that again in the spring of 2027.
Okay.
So we're also doing a paint and sip, I think, in September with a local artist, June Klassen, who's phenomenal. So we do, like, those are, like, the salon hang and the holiday auction are the biggest events, but the board is working on having some smaller events throughout the year, too.
Yeah.
But
so
I know.
What do you think about, like, what's the percentage of income that's fundraising versus either, like, other sources for you guys?
Yeah, so we're really lucky where a lot of our, we have a trust established, which covers a pretty significant portion of our budget. So we're really lucky in that sense. Let me pull up my official numbers. Donations typically cover around like 10.8% of our budget.
Okay.
So this year, that's what our projected income is for that. And sometimes, like, it's over, sometimes it's a little bit under, but most of the time it's over because, like I said, people in Millbrook tend to be pretty generous.
Right.
But as I said, I know all this pales in comparison to what
so we have a slightly different setup over here, and there's good things about that and challenging things about that. But that said, you know, we're all trying to do the same work, and it's just a matter of how you get there. So we get about a third of our budget from tax dollars, which is a grant from the town. So every year we have to ask for a chunk of money from the town, and they can deny it if they choose to. Luckily, we have, you know, good relationships and have been, you know, maintained our high standard of service, so we haven't had issues with that, and we do, when necessary, ask for increases. But as I said, it's about a third. And then we get roughly... look at that number again. I'd say we get, it's probably another 15% of our money is budgeted to come from our investments, like our kind of our trust. So we don't have a big, big endowment. We have a growing endowment, which is nice. And of course, that money is very protected. So that kicks off a little bit, and then we have what we call our unrestricted reserves, which are basically library savings that we've you know, just saved, for stocked away for years and years and years, and now with the stock market doing so well, it's been generating some good income in that it's growing and kicks off whatever a percentage of that. Then everything else is fundraised. So that's a lot of fundraising that we do, and that's part of, you guys are an association just like us, correct?
Yes.
So that's just part of, you know, when the library was established 120 years ago, 115 years ago, they wanted it to be a taxpayer supported library, and the town just said, no, we don't want to pay taxes for that. So it became an association library by like-minded people that felt strongly that the town needed a library. And so it's just continued on that way. And I think our town, while we appreciate the grant that we get from the town, really doesn't want to just own this. You know, doesn't want to say, like, okay, we're going to make you a line item on the town budget. That's, you know, every year, I think, you know, a lot of municipal libraries, I think it's like a percentage or whatever. So we do a lot of fundraising here. And, you know, I'm not a trained librarian. I don't have a library degree. I have a degree in administration. And I feel like really what I do is I hire the staff so that they can do the work that the board wants them to do, and then I manage all the fundraising and all of the finances and all of the personnel and all that kind of stuff to sort of make it actually happen. So we have committees that do most of the fundraising, but again, I oversee that stuff. But our biggest piece of that pie is membership, which, just like you guys do, it's that annual appeal where you write the letter. And when I started here 8 years ago, we had some really good training with a fundraising professional who basically said the best way to raise money is not another bake sale. The best way to raise money is to ask for money. And so really making sure that we're very careful and thoughtful about how we do that with our town. We similarly have really generous townspeople. I mean, they support us to the best of their ability. And it ranges from, you know, we have some people that give $10,000 a year and some people that give $10 a year, and they're all welcomed. The biggest number that I am concerned about is not actually, I mean, I care about the finances, but it's the number of people that are participating as members. Mm-hmm. So that's the first piece of the puzzle. And then we have our annual benefit, which we just had this past weekend, which is cocktail party and an auction, and there's raffles, and that's a super fun event, and it does raise a lot of money, but more importantly, it builds community, and a lot of fundraisers, I think, that is their top secret gift is that, yes, it's about raising money, but it's also about connecting people to the mission and to caring about what we're doing. And then we have this annual season-long book sale, which you've probably heard me talk about. And it's, talk about a labor of love. It is an incredible amount of work done by volunteers collecting donations from all around. Sometimes they come to us. Sometimes we go get them. Like if, for example, another library has a big sale and they're getting rid of what's left, we'll go and pick those up and add them to our collections in the book sale. And then there's a whole team that sorts them and then manages the sale outside. There's probably 50 tables and other kind of bookshelves that have to sit outside all season in these special tarps that we've had made. So, and it's a big tourist draw, so it sort of hits a couple of different things. It engages volunteers in a really exciting way that they love. It's a big tourist draw to people to come to Kent, so the merchants in town really like it because it means when the sale's on, there's more people coming into town, which is good for them. And then the shoppers obviously love it to buy great books for very little. We do have an online component for really valuable stuff because sometimes we do get some really valuable stuff, but most of it's very affordable, you know, $5 and under for sometimes even brand new books. It's amazing what people donate. And then it's good also for the donors of the books who love them, like they're their babies. So they love to know that it's going to another person who's going to love them. So that's a very complicated and time-intensive group they put in the season. So it's every weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all day, that it's like 400 hours a month of just volunteer work for that. And then we do some smaller things. We have a local raffle where we buy gift cards to local businesses based on what the raffle winner wants. So, for example, the prize is $1,000. If you would win, Courtney, you would say, well, I would like $200 at the Fife and Drum, and I would like $300 at the gas station, and I would like $200 at the hardware store. And so we go out and buy those things. So the tickets are very affordable. It's really, but it keeps the money super. It's like hyper-local. It's very cute. And the merchants love it because they don't have to do anything. They just get someone who makes a big purchase at their store, and then the winners love it because it's in town and something they want. It really, and then the library makes money too. And then, you know, we have other types of fundraising we do. We apply for grants. We have a lot of people, if they have a milestone birthday, they'll say, I don't want any presents, give the money to the library. And that adds up, you know, when you have enough people doing that. So I think of it as like a stool with lots of legs, and it's sort of making it all get us to our budgetary goals. But it wouldn't happen without this huge team of volunteers that do it. We have the number one volunteer rate in the state of Connecticut to make all these things happen. Like it's the amount of hours is ridiculous. Like truly, truly. Truly ridiculous, and it's a lot of coordination, but I've got a great board, and I mean, their volunteer hours count too, but they kind of manage these individual efforts, and then I sort of oversee and make it work, and, you know, do the ordering and make sure they have their supplies and make contacts with them. And, you know, for example, this year, the benefit hosts were friends of mine, which was great because, you know, it's a big favor to ask to have a party at your house and put up a tent. And this year we had our biggest year ever, even bigger than our 100th anniversary. We had 360 people show up to our event, and it was glorious, mostly because, you know, a solid 10% of our town was there. But it was also the most stunning gardens and perfect weather and all those things, the stars really aligned for us. So, it's I feel like it's like relationship status. It's complicated, but it works, and it works for us. And you know, it of course engaging volunteers in fundraising really connects them to your organization. And so the more you know, your friends group is probably big library users and big supporters. In addition to giving time, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly. So it's that whole time, treasure, talent. We want to engage everybody. You know, if they're like for their work, if they're a designer, maybe they've joined our building committee and are helping design our new space. If they are a corporate kind of accountant person, they can help us make sure that our finances are in order. If they are person who just loves to read and really is interested in history, they're working the book sale and managing the history section over there. So it's finding the things that people love and figuring out a way that they can use those skills and interests to help us with our mission, I guess. That's my long speech. Sorry.
Perfect. Sorry.
Any questions? It's exhausting sometimes. I mean, like, I know certainly the benefit, and there were, what, like 40 people working on making this happen. And even that, like, I was a pretty tired Teddy on by the end of the weekend. It's a lot to do those things.
It is
a lot. But they're wonderful and fun, and the people that win the auction items are excited, and they're all happy to support the library. And then you add a capital campaign that we are kind of near the end of to expand our building, and that's been a whole nother fundraising extravaganza. And I could probably talk about that for another hour, which nobody wants to hear that. But we learned a lot. We've learned so much. I've learned so much as a professional, but also the board has learned a lot about the right ways to do it and the wrong ways to do it. And I would just say, if anyone's listening to this and is involved in an organization that is thinking about making a big jump, a big capital campaign, get professional guidance. It makes a difference. It really, we learned so much from our consultant who, a lot of what she was telling us was counterintuitive. You know, we've got a very well-heeled community here, just like you do in Millbrook, and some people were like, oh, I'll just sort of call my friends. It doesn't work that way. It really doesn't work that way. And the people that we thought who are important in town, quote-unquote important, or very wealthy, weren't necessarily the ones that gave the most money. It was really the people that had already been showing that they were dedicated to the mission of the organization that came through in the most unbelievable way. And that's counterintuitive to what a lot of these people thought. Like, oh, I'll just call my friends. Well, if their friends weren't already caring about the library, you turning around and asking them for $1 million isn't going to make them care about the library. So the fact that we were able to successfully raise enough money for this project that's nearing about $7.8 million at this point, is incredible. And we're just honored that people trust us like this to be able to do this super, super neat thing for our town right on Main Street. It's going to be great. Right now it looks like a bomb went off, but it's going to be great.
I think that speaks to just how much your community appreciates you, too, because $7.8 million is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
And the fact that you were able to raise that, I think, just speaks to the good work that you're doing and how much people appreciate it.
Well, that's nice to hear. That's the hope. You know, so going back to my original statement, everything is fundraising. Like, you having that really great weekend where you're doing, you know, Saturday, where you're going to be working and providing things for the town for 9-10 hours straight, That's showing your value, right? So
that's
when you do when you, everything so every so so when you turn around and say to a donor, you know, we had these this was our Saturday. This is what we did for the town that you love and that we love, and then that's when they say, okay, I'm in. So yeah, everything's development. Everything is fundraising. Every conversation matters. Every thank you note with a little handwritten, you know, you guys are great. Thanks for stopping by the other day. I hope you enjoyed that. You know, whatever you remembered about them, it makes a difference, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, as I said, I could go on, but we should stop.
I would go to a presentation by you on this.
Ah, no. No one else needs to hear me talk. It was nice to chat with you today, though, and I wish you good luck on this weekend, and I hope that you have a really restful Sunday and Monday to catch up.
Thank you. I hope everything goes smoothly, continues hopefully.
Thanks.
With your
yeah.
business, with your building project.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Good.
Yeah, look on our website if you want to see pictures. It's pretty exciting.
Ah, I will check it out.
Cool. Okay, nice to talk to you as always.
You too. Take care.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.